The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, are Facebook groups getting out of hand?
You know, I was just about to comment on that because I've pulled out of several today because I don't know what it is with people. I don't know if it's because they're not sanctioned or because they can all play armchair critic, but there's no genuine discussion. It's just become forums for abuse, and I stand behind Luba, especially since Luba is somebody that works very, very hard and advocates both for Israel and for the Jewish community, and to see some of the racist statements and the accusations of racism turn my stomach, and I've experienced it myself just a matter of minutes ago.
Really, really crazy. So, Rolene, I don't even know where to start because we chatted as we do every morning, nice and early. We talk about the news stories, but the day's just changed. Can we maybe start with this French bloke who works for the French consulate who was arrested for smuggling arms?
Well, today has been a news day unlike any other that I have experienced, unless we are in a state of conflagration. But yes, big story coming in from Jerusalem today, and that is that an employee at the French consulate in Jerusalem was indicted today for using his diplomatic vehicle to smuggle dozens of guns from Gaza to the West Bank. What we do know, because it has been cleared for publication, is that Roman Frank knew that he could take advantage of very, very lax checks on his vehicle because he had a diplomatic immunity, and he was able to smuggle this across. He is 24 years old, and he illegally transported these weapons out of Gaza and into the West Bank. In fact, today in court, he actually spoke through a interpreter, and two French diplomats were in court today to monitor the proceedings. And what we do also know is that he made at least 5 smuggling runs. He bought about 70 pistols, 2 assault rifles to the West Bank from, this just gets more ridiculous, a Palestinian employee at the French Cultural Center in Gaza. So it is a flagrant abuse of his diplomatic position and diplomatic immunity, and then his contact in the West Bank sold the weapons to other arms dealers. And how this is going to impact on Israeli-French relations,
that must be mortified. The French authorities must be mortified, even if they perhaps in some way have encouraged this behavior, and certainly nothing happens in a complete vacuum. But surely this isn't something that they would have supported or encouraged.
Well, what we do know is we have had a statement from the spokesperson from the French embassy, and he said that they take the case very, very, very seriously and are in close contact with Israeli authorities, and has said that they will not block any kind of prosecution, but he may serve out his sentence in France and not Israel.
Wow, absolutely incredible. Can you bring us up to date with what seems to be a terrible escalation in terror attacks in Israel?
We have had a weekend of terrible, terrible escalations, Howard, starting on Friday with a deadly car ramming in Mevo Dotan, which was in the northern West Bank. 2 soldiers were killed, Ziv Dios and Netanel Kahalani, may their memories be for a blessing, when a Palestinian terrorist rammed the car into them and injured 3 other soldiers. And I tell you, what the car looked like was only too horrendous. The entire front of the car was bashed in. Apparently, there were Palestinians on the scene who tried to offer help to the soldiers. This was to mark 100 days since President Trump's Jerusalem declaration. The Palestinian terrorist groups did declare it Friday a day of rage. And in addition to this, we had Israeli soldiers targeted along the Gaza Strip border with IEDs, and the Israeli Air Force responded with airstrikes and artillery fire on Hamas targets. If this wasn't enough, Howard, we We saw violent demonstrations that continued on Saturday, and then two tunnels into Israel from the Gaza Strip were blown up by the IDF. And if this also wasn't enough, yesterday a father of four, an employee of the City of David, Adil Coleman, was stabbed in the Old City on his way home from work, which brings to three the amount of Israelis killed in terrorist activity this past weekend. It's a very, very concerning escalation. The motive for it could be the fact that they want to be seen as having taken some kind of action since President Trump made his declaration on the 6th of December. But a very, very, very sad weekend for Israel this past weekend.
Has there been any sense as to the reaction from Israel? These are very, very varied types of attacks in very varied areas. I would imagine it's a very complicated one to try and stymie.
Well, what we do know is that yesterday's attack or terrorist in the Old City was neutralized. He was shot and killed by forces on the scene, and the terrorist responsible for the car ramming was caught, and whatever has happened or whatever questioning he has been subject to has not been cleared for publication.
All right, so we unfortunately will be keeping an eye on that story. Terrible, terrible indeed. In what only could be described as a Game of Thrones story, Putin has won his fourth consecutive term, his fourth consecutive six-year term. Is that right?
Well, you are absolutely correct, and anybody shocked by that?
Yeah, no one saw that coming.
It's barely even
being reported, actually. I think it was. I don't know why they bothered to even have elections.
Exactly. So Putin is in for his fourth term, 6 years. I think he's the last president of Russia since Gorbachev. I mean, that is just an indication of how long he has been in power.
Incredible. Absolutely unbelievable.
And what is of great concern to our region is how hegemonic he is, or how much of a player he wants to be. And now we see another maneuver by Turkey over the weekend. Turkey has went into Syria. They have taken the city of Afrin. They have taken away from Kurdish forces. They say in objection to a potential US-led coalition army that would protect certain strongholds in Syria. So now we are seeing, and why I say it's a Game of Thrones, is we're seeing a jostling for position between Russia and Turkey, and we cannot discount either of them. Whatever they do in the region has impact on all the countries surrounding Syria, and possibly on us as well. The concern is that while Iran might not have an army that could equally match Israel's army, they might have the ballistics and potential nuclear weapon. Turkey is coming very, very close to our borders.
It's very, very frightening. And I think just to add to that, we've got a lot of discontent with Russia and the poisoning that's been very, very much leveled or placed at their doorstep. So you've got this incredibly difficult and stressed relationship between the West and Russia at the moment. You see them getting closer to various Middle Eastern countries that aren't necessarily the creme de la creme. It seems to be setting up for a potentially very dangerous situation.
Absolutely. I mean, and what was very interesting was Israel's reaction to the poison incident in the UK. Mm. Israel very, very careful on how they commented.
I noticed their wording was very, very...
very careful. We condemn the incident that took place in the United Kingdom. Very, very careful. Very careful not to make any kind of sweeping statements. You know, we sit between two major superpowers, the United States and, of course, Russia. So very, very, very tentative wording by the Israeli government on that.
And of course the relationship between Israel and Russia, also a very, very strange one. They seem to get on at certain times, but at others they don't like the friends that Russia keeps.
Exactly, and by friends, I think Syria and Iran, we could state quite frankly, we do not want to see, or we are not supportive of Assad. The Russians are supportive of Assad, and of course there is Russia's friendship with Iran that is of huge concern to us.
Indeed. Is the Czech Republic moving its embassy to Jerusalem?
Well, it looks like they will be moving their embassy. And you know who's putting the pressure on?
Hmm? Who?
The Czech people.
I like those Czechs, hey?
I also like those Czechs. That's why I went to Prague.
Yes.
Because public opinion in the Czech Republic is extremely pro-Israel. And our foreign minister, chief diplomat, Daniel Meron, spoke to Israel's ambassador to Prague, and he said that it looks very, very popular. The decision will ultimately be made by the Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, which is very similar to the name of the mayor of Modi'in, which is Bibas. And he said that the Prime Minister is very influenced by public opinion, which is well known to be pro-Israel. And it was crucial for Jerusalem to continue its public outreach in Prague to cement that report. So Howard, you can read into it anything you want, but I did go to Prague in December. I was there for the Jerusalem
and
announcement.
All of
whether
a
or not
sudden,
my visit
yeah.
had any influence, I don't know.
Well, we'll leave it to our listeners to speculate. Rolien Marx goes to Prague, and the next thing is they're moving their embassy. All right. We'll just let that percolate for a little bit.
The Czech president, Miloš Zeman, is a very, very vocal supporter of Israel, and he has advocated for the embassy move. And even though he's a figurehead or he's ceremonial, he still has a lot of influence in Prague and within the Czech Republic. So there you go.
Very interesting indeed. Natan Sharansky wins the Israel Prize for exceptional contribution to the State of Israel.
Well, in our 70th year, could there not be a more deserving winner than the iconic human rights activist Natan Sharansky? Natan Sharansky, also a great friend of former President Nelson Mandela, was the most famous Soviet refusenik who spent a lot of time in Soviet jail for his Zionism, for advocating for Judaism, for wanting to come home. And he wins this year's Israel Prize for his outstanding contribution to the State of Israel, especially in the field of Aliyah and in the ingathering of the exiles. And it was quite incredible to see a man who is very short in stature but an absolute giant, not just in the Jewish world but in the world, receive this very, very, very auspicious prize. And he says when it comes to Kibbutz Galiot, the ingathering of the exiles, this prize also goes to my wife Avital and to all the Aliyah activists and prisoners of Zion in the Soviet Union who fought valiantly for the right to immigrate to Israel. It also goes to the entire Jewish people which supported the refusnik struggle for freedom. I think, you know, many of us were too young to remember the refusnik movement, but an incredible moment in Jewish history as the entire Jewish world galvanized, worked together for the freedom of our Russian brethren.
Yeah, I always think about, you know, when we were in high school, we had those, it was obviously a movement, and I'm not sure who was behind the whole thing, but there were those metal bracelets that, and I'll never forget, I had, and people had different refuseniks' names engraved on it. And mine was Natan Sharansky. Or, in fact, at the time, was Anatoly Sharansky. And I'll never forget that bracelet. And the next thing is it was announced that he was being freed. And then he did come to visit South Africa shortly afterwards.
Yes, and I think he was there for our very first democratic elections. He was there with Nelson Mandela. Great friends they were. Mm-hmm. And it was my privilege to interview Natan Sharansky about 18 months ago and hear his wisdom, hear him implore especially the younger generation to fight for the state of Israel, to, you know, to honor their incredible heritage and incredible future, and he stressed the importance of us all showing up to make sure that we advocate for the state of Israel.
Absolutely fantastic. Time is 5:52. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Do you think it'll be a bit calmer tomorrow, Rolene?
I don't know. I mean, also, one thing we forgot to speak about was Eloah Azariah, who will be paroled earlier.
All right, before I let you go, we've got a few minutes. Tell us about this.
Eloah Azariah, as you know, a very, very polarizing court case a couple of months ago. In November, our President Reuven Rivlin rejected Azariah's request to commute his 14-month jail sentence for manslaughter. But as it happens today, he will be released early on May the 10th after serving 9 months of his 14-month sentence. So there we go. More breaking news. Howard, I think, you know, we both deserve either a large whiskey or a scotch because it hasn't stopped the whole day.
No, it certainly hasn't. Before I let you go, Mike Lubo says, and he's referring, of course, to the Czech Republic looking to move its embassy to Jerusalem. He says, checkmate is my type of game. That's Mike Lubo. Time is 5:53. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. That's, of course, brought to you by the Blue Agency.